Welcome, everyone, to the Woke in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. Tonight, I'm joined once again by Rodrigo Azurmendi. Rodrigo, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fantastic.
High spirits, I assume, huh?
Yeah, man, it's one of the best feelings in the world. So just very happy after a very tense Sunday and week leading up to the Superclásico. It was just the best ending, and then obviously just winning Boca style. You know, there's never a win without suffering with this team. So it was the perfect Sunday. So no complaints.
Absolutely. We're gonna get into how you celebrated, because I know you watched the game at home with a couple of friends.
Yeah.
I watched the game in the city of Manhattan with the new Consulado de Boca in New York, the new fan club, I guess you could call it, the new. Yeah, basically it is a fan club. That's what it is. If you want to become a member, they help you out in becoming a club member. But anyways, let's get right into the starting 11. We had Rossi in goal, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. Advíncula, Zambrano, Rojo, and Fabra. In midfield, we had Medina, Paul Fernandez, Ramirez. As the center attacking mid or enganche, or the number 10 was Molinas, and up top, Benedetto and Villa. I think that's the 11 that was pretty much pretty clear from the get-go. I know last week when we recorded, Rodri, I said the coaches are going to play a lot of games up until the very last minute. We're going to have doubts about the starting 11. Gallardo confirmed the starting 11 days before the match, which is very rare of him. I don't know if it's one of his tactics, if it was a tactic of his. And Bateria pretty much practiced with the same 11, with the only difference being Molinas playing or for Romero. They were alternating in all the scrimmages throughout the week, and Benedetto and Vasquez were also alternating. So those were the two only doubts, but pretty much the rest of the team was pretty much confirmed pretty early on. Towards Thursday, Friday, we kind of got the indication that there was going to be Benedetto and Molinas from the start. Rodri, tell me what you thought of Boca's performance on Sunday. If anybody listening doesn't know the result, Boca won 1-0 at the Monumental. Tell me what you thought of Boca's performance.
I thought that Boca was able to just, how do I say it? Boca, and I think I kind of closed with this last time, and I said that Boca needed to belong to just to be at the level of, you know, of not just the game, but the atmosphere. And Boca was never intimidated by River. Obviously, we know that River is superior in terms of experience and time, you know, played of those guys playing together with the same coach. You know, they're a well oiled machine. And Boca playing with Paul Fernandez as the center midfielder, they only had two games playing like this. Or just one game, mainly like one full game against Estudiantes, and then a couple other games where they did it, you know, in spurts. So I thought that Boca was they knew what they wanted, they understood their limitations, but they were not just too intimidated by it. So they, you know, they did what they had to do. Obviously, Boca plays long, you know, from their center, like mid center defenders a lot, but obviously it helps a lot when both of them are in good shape. In this case, Benedetto just wasn't. So that complicated things in the first half. But then in the second half, when Vasquez was able to come in, that, you know, things made a lot more sense. The 11 on the pitch made more sense. So Boca, I thought Boca did well. Obviously, the goal comes on a, you know, just you pressure the ball, but also there's a mistake from Gonzalez Pires mainly, but also from Armani. And then Boca just got more comfortable. And River was, it was really interesting to see River miss so many passes. There's be so just messy with the ball. You know, they're usually much crisper and they just couldn't do it. So I don't know if it was the pressure from their own fans, you know, having like 75,000 people at the, you know, at the Monumental, or if it was just having the Boca jersey in front of them, or something happened.
Because yellow jersey for this.
Yeah, the yellow jersey. Just River just wasn't comfortable, man. They just weren't, and it was really interesting, and obviously that played in Boca's favor.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree anymore. I thought the first half from both sides was pretty lackluster. There wasn't much to it. It was very sloppy from Boca's end. We didn't really generate much for Benedetto, and at the same time, he didn't really look for the ball very often like he's used to.
Yeah.
a lot of times when there's big portions of the game where he doesn't touch the ball, he'll drop back and play with his back towards goal and spread the ball out to the wings. We didn't really see much of him. I noticed early on within 10, 15 minutes that Benedetto shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
He didn't feel well. I don't know if it had anything to do with the injury. Obviously, now we know it didn't. He didn't feel well on Saturday night. He had some sort of a fever. And then at halftime, he actually said in the radio that he was throwing up and he got another fever. So that's why they took him out of the game. It had nothing to do with his muscular injury. But you could tell he looked pretty uncomfortable. Vija played a very, very poor first half. Basically, yeah. All the guys up top didn't really play well. Molina's got a couple of touches on the ball, but we didn't really create much in the first half. And neither did River. River had, I think, one really good opportunity from Julian Alvarez. Where he got past like two to three players. Really, really nice play. And Rossi made the save. I think that was in the first half. And then he had another one-on-one opportunity against Rossi that went wide. It was from a tight angle. But apart from that, there wasn't really too much. River did look uncomfortable. Watching the preview to the game, at least from the fans' perspective, I got the feeling that they were very confident that they were going to win the game. And I don't know if that feeling sort of went over to the players as well. I don't know if they felt just as confident and then things just weren't clicking for them. I thought that at the back we were pretty tight. Zambrano and Rojo, I think, played a pretty good match. Advíncula was getting worked on that wing. Advíncula could have easily been sent off at the end of the first half. Thank God he didn't. And one of the things we have to commend Battaglia for is making the substitutions at halftime. He took out Advíncula, put in Figal. Those weren't his first minutes for the first team. I know he played in preseason. I think he played another game.
Yeah, he played against Aldo Civi for a few minutes in Mar del Plata. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, he played against Aldo Civi, and he hasn't seen the pitch since then. I think Figal was absolutely excellent.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest change that changed the game for Oca was Vázquez in for Benedetto. Vázquez is a tremendous player. He has tremendous characteristics. He came up with a play literally out of nothing. I think it was maybe Advíncula, somebody on the right side who played him a very nice ball. And he ends up beating his man as he closes in on Armani. And from a really, really, really tight angle, he gets a shot off. And that was, I think, the first ball that he touched in the game.
Yeah, it was early in the second half. Yeah, exactly. And I don't remember who put that long ball in. But yeah, it was just Vázquez against the world. And he made it all the way to the...
got a corner kick out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So that was very impressive. And actually, that thing, that it bodes really well for Vázquez. And obviously, this is like looking way forward. But, you know, in Copa Libertadores, Villa is not able to play for the first, I think, three or four games because he's suspended. So we all sort of assume that it's going to be, well, first, a month ago, we assumed it was going to be Salvio playing with Benedetto. And then we assume, well, it's probably going to be Ceballos. And now it's like, who knows? It might be the double Vázquez nine up top with Vázquez and Benedetto. So obviously Vázquez, every time he comes in, it tells Battaglia that he needs to play. So Battaglia is going to have to get creative in ways of getting him on the pitch because it's really hard to keep him off. I mean, he's just really just impactful in how he does a lot of times scoring, but some other times it's not. If you actually see the I don't know if you can call it an assist, but the one that puts the ball in that ends up on the mistake that turns into Villa's goal is from Vázquez.
Yeah, it's a brilliant ball.
Yeah, so
the touch was awesome.
Yeah, so it's very interesting how much he can impact the game, and he can do it right away. He doesn't need like a warm-up period or anything. He just come right in and do something to that helps win.
Yeah, he had an immediate effect. And I mean, we called this and when we recorded it last week or earlier, we said Benedetto was probably going to play the first half or first 55 to 60 minutes and then Vázquez would come in or vice versa. It would be Vázquez first half or 60 minutes and then Benedetto against the tire rear defense. We speculated with something like this. I don't think any of us expected Benedetto to play as poorly as he did and obviously contributed to him exiting the game right at halftime. But good calls from Battaglia. I remember I've seen countless, and I'm telling you, Rodri, and you can back me up on this one, countless Clásicos where there's a River player that's on that verge of getting a red card and Gallardo takes him out right away.
Yeah.
On the verge. It happened this weekend. I don't remember what Clásico I was watching, but there was one player who was the same thing, on the verge of getting a red card. I think it was Newell's Rosario Central. I think it was a Newell's player that was on the verge of getting a red card, and the coach took him out immediately. I mean, if you're on the opposite side, it's annoying.
I think
it's a smart play.
Also, I was watching Colón, the Santa Fe against Unión, and like one of Unión's striker, I think it was Leo Ramos, he was just really asking for the second yellow. And at some point, Munua was like, "No, man, you're out of here. We need to like, we can't afford to go down to 10, man." Yeah. So it was like if you I try not to go on Twitter during Boca games because you know there's usually a bit of a couple minutes of a delay when I watch, so I don't want to get like spoiled. But then I went on halftime and it was like 100% of fans were like, if you don't take Advíncula out now,
yeah,
he's gonna be sent off within the first 10 minutes of the second half. Like everybody knew it. And somehow like Bataglia also saw it. So
yeah, he went on Twitter too at halftime.
Yeah, I mean Bataglia has been slow to react. That's actually one of the things that I like the most from Gallardo is that he, like, if he sees something he doesn't like, he'll make a substitution. And he may be like 35 minutes into the first half, and he'll just like pull you out and do something else. And Bataglia has been a little slow on that. Miguel Russo was slow on that as well. And it's just unnerving. And in this case, I mean, it was Bataglia did it despite the fact that he didn't have a natural right back on the bench because, you know, Weigand is coming back from an injury, and he was left out of the reserves.
The squad, yeah.
Available. Yeah. So he went with Figal. Like you said, Figal hasn't played much, you know, in the semester. And
he played really good.
Yeah, he threw him to the Lions and the man delivered, man, in a position that he's played before, but that is not his, you know, like usual, you know, center back position. So I thought it was great. Obviously, Vasquez for Benedetto was obvious. But, you know, some like in the past, Bataglia just like decides to wait another 15 minutes to do it. Like with Salvio early on, he would just
and that can work. 15 minutes. That can work sometimes. That can work in their favor because I know I'm not the only one who was thinking, okay, I would give Villa to the 55th, 60th minute, and I'm taking him out and I'm putting in Ceballos because I even tweeted that.
Yeah,
I wasn't the only one. Thankfully, the goal came at the 55th minute.
Yeah,
but I know Bataglia was thinking about that. I know it was in the back of his head. Did he end up taking him out? No, he didn't. He left him on the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean,
the entire game. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing with Bija is that like defensively, he has such stamina that he can last the full 90 and he can help out either Fabra on the left or in this case Figal and Medina on the right. So you know, even when he's having a really bad offensive game, which he was last time, once Boca was able to get ahead, at that point it wasn't so much, you know, about, you know, extending the lead as so much as like just playing, you know, River even. And also like just it's always dangerous when you're up 1-0 and the other team has to go forward. That opens up so much space, and then obviously we know that Villa thrives in space. So I thought it was a good decision. Villa is, I think, is becoming one of those players that you wait, even though you have Ceballos on the bench, you give him a little more slack because he doesn't, you know, all he has to do is like one thing right to really impact the game. So I think he's earned the right to stay a little longer on the pitch, even though obviously, you know, most fans dislike him for a lot of
fans. I mean, with the things with it, you know, him going to Colombia on vacation and whatnot, a lot of fans have like a love-hate relationship with him, which, you know, I can sort of understand. But that's the thing with Villa. You explained it very well. The play where he scored the goal was it was all a hustle play.
Yeah.
He knew he had to press the defender there. The defender was shaky. Who was it? Pires, I think.
González Pires.
Who was going to, I think he was actually scouted by Boca a couple of years ago. Boca were looking to sign him. Good thing we didn't. Because maybe he would have been on the opposite side of the pitch and would have made the error for us. Who knows?
Seriously.
But he was waiting for Armani to come for the ball. He doesn't get it. Villa gets to the ball, rounds Armani, and shoots on an open net. So it was a completely all hustle play. A lot of River fans will say it's against the run of play, very undeserved. But I don't think River had too many concrete chances anyways. I mean, Rossi made some spectacular saves, especially the one against Palavecino. That one, I think, was the very last opportunity they had, the very last concrete scoring opportunity that they had, which was a superb save. I don't know how he got to that, but it was magnificent. And I was listening to him, his post-match conference, and Rossi said that he saw the play happening. He saw Palavecino sneaking in behind the defense, and he saw the ball that was going to come over the top of the defense, and he started tracking back. And good thing he'd read that play and started tracking back. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten his fingertips on the ball, and they definitely would have equalized 100%. I mean, we've seen River equalize against us countless times in the dying minutes of the Superclásico. So Rossi played very well. Another man who played very well was Bol. Bol Fernandez was excellent on the defensive end, too. I mean, obviously, we know going forward, he can play some really nice passes going forward. But defensively, he was ridiculous. And same with Ramirez. Ramirez was also solid going forward as well. He's been on an upper trend. But I think, I mean, if we're going to pick a man of the match, I'm definitely picking Rossi with his spectacular saves. I think perhaps, like Riquelme said, maybe we went home with a little bit too much than we deserved. That's fine. But at the end of the day, Clásicos aren't deserved. I'm sorry. You don't deserve them. You know, whoever scores, you end up going home and winning. And I think Riquelme, I don't know if you got to listen to him, Rodri, yesterday he said that, you know, the Clásicos that were played at La Bombonera, that ended up in a draw, the 2-2 draw, I remember. River went home with a lot more than they deserved, and they got lucky to go home with a draw. So, you know, it's not so bad that we got lucky this time around and went home with all 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, you can just go back in history and find countless Clásicos where the winner or, you know, wasn't the one that deserved it the most. I mean, it just Boca did it throughout the 90s. Just tying, or even the early 2000s with Guillermo Barros Esqueloto, just picking up a couple of penalties to tie it 2-2 once at La Bombonera. And then River also has some back in, I think it was like 97 when Boca was up 3-0 at Monumental, and then they come back and tie it 3-3. Boca had missed a penalty. I mean, there's so many examples of both teams just kind of like, you know, stealing a point at the end or just winning it down the stretch. So, you know, it's like no one remembers like what happened in those games. So it's just everybody remembers the final score and the joy that you get from either tying it at the end or just winning it at the end, or the pain from not winning or losing it. So it won't matter. Boca did what they had to do. I think Rossi just provided enough like security and safety for the rest of the defense, to the point where I thought that Fabra was actually pretty solid, and then
he was.
And then Rojo and Zambrano were pretty solid. Obviously, I wouldn't say they were stellar or anything, but it was pretty solid. That most of Rivers' chances were more from pressing and just getting the ball back, like just up high, as opposed to just like building and just kind of getting through Boca's defense. That they were trying to capitalize on some mistakes, you know, from the back. And just Boca was able to be solid enough. And then obviously Rossi saved us in a few opportunities in both halves. And then Zambrano, I have to mention him, the very last play of the game, or one of the very last plays of the game, is where Zambrano just kind of like just threw himself at the ball and just like even like just like the ball ended up destroyed, you know, from that kick.
The ball was popped.
Yeah, I think it was Pochettino, and then Zambrano just kind of like, you know, like slows it down enough for Rossi to grab it, and that pretty much sealed the deal. So it was a crazy ending with Rossi saving Boca time and time again.
Yeah,
and then obviously the celebration of the players in the field and the River fans just tossing and throwing everything they had at Boca's players as they were exiting the stadium.
I know, and they're using the excuse that the players taunted them.
Oh, come on, man.
Let's be serious here. It's completely ridiculous to even blame the players. I know Advíncula was leaving the pitch and he was waving at the fans.
I know.
And that's a reason to throw a chicken wing.
I know. I saw the chicken wing was just magnificent. Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, let's be honest here. The players were having fun. They didn't do anything terrible. They didn't, you know, flick them off or any verbal abuse against the fans. Really, Advíncula, he waved at them. A couple of the players did, you know, the little elevator dance, up and down, up and down. Nothing criminal to go ahead and claim against the players that, you know, they were inciting violence. That's beyond ridiculous. But to sort of, you know, finish up the recap of the game, one more thing I do want to say is I think if I'm going to pick our weakest point, I would have to say Zambrano, even though I think he had a pretty good game. There was a couple of instances where he was forced to press and step up to the ball, and it left that gap, and somebody always snuck in behind him. Usually it was Julian Alvarez, and that led to a couple of opportunities from River. I mean, obviously, we all know soccer or football is a chess match, and that's exactly what happened in those instances. Zambrano was forced to take a step. Advíncula and Rojo couldn't really cover him too well, leaving a hole, and somebody would slip in over there. It was either De La Cruz or Julian Alvarez. But we did well to respond to those plays overall. But I think, you know, we're on an upper trend. We got off of a huge win in La Plata. We carry that over to a huge win in Monumental. And I think we're playing Arsenal next at home. Rodri, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, we are.
Yes. Yeah, it's Arsenal on Saturday. And I think it's right before we have our Copa Libertadores debut, just the following Wednesday, I think it is.
Okay. I didn't know we debut in the Libertadores that week. That's news to me. Yeah, the draw is this Friday.
Yes.
But our next match is possibly Saturday, April 2nd. I know in my app it's set for Sunday. We usually play on Sunday, but I did hear that it's most likely going to be Saturday, April 2nd, in the very late at night, because the club wants to do a midnight celebration for April 3rd, the club's birthday, and wants to celebrate with the fans.
Yeah, yeah, that's the idea. So to have because it's Boca's just founding anniversary on the 3rd. So it should be really exciting. I think Boca is actually in a really good spot right now, and it's
top of the league, yeah, along with Estudiantes joint.
Yeah, and just you know, like, much better positioned. You get to play, you know, back at La Bombonera. You know, the Argentina national team is going to play La Bombonera as well. So, you know, we get to go back to our pitch. We play Arsenal, then Vélez, then Lanús. Lanús and Vélez, they're just not doing well. They're actually like in the last spot in Zona 2.
I don't know. Vélez was dead last.
Yeah, they're both dead last with 6 points. Yeah. So them and Lanús, which is unbelievable, because I would have picked them to make it out of the zone over to
the group, that top four.
Yeah. So
but look at Tigre. Tigre is in third place with Iki Fernandez.
Yeah, Tigre and Aldo Civi with Palermo coaching them and Nicolas Valentini in their defense, and even Colón is doing pretty well too. The defending champion of this League Cup or whatever we're calling it.
Liga, I think this one is.
Yeah, so I think Boca is in a really good position. Yeah, it's right now, as you know, Copa Libertadores is going to be played 6 weeks in a row. So, you know, it's going to be a long streak of playing, you know, Wednesday and Sunday. And I feel like Boca has most of their players healthy now. And it's just a matter of, like, Bataglia pressing, you know, the right buttons. Also, you know, you have some decisions that are made for him, but for example, you know, Rojo can't play Copa Libertadores for the first few weeks. Same thing with Villa. I think a couple more, maybe like Pulpo Gonzalez also can't play. Javi Garcia can't play, I think. So we know that the 11 that played at Monumental is probably going to be the one playing Copa Libertadores, which means that next Saturday against Arsenal, you know, we might see I'm not sure how he wants to play the whole Romero and Molina's dynamic, and who's if Romero is the starter, then maybe he plays Molina on Saturday because Romero is going to be coming back from duty with Paraguay. But the exciting part is that we're going to get to see a lot more of Ceballos. We may get to see Vázquez for sure.
Maybe Barco, but
I don't know about Barco because you know, he's a bit relegated. You know, like
Sandes is a backup.
Yeah, so Sandes is the backup. So we'll see a little bit of Sandes, even though like Fabra plays just everything for some reason. Like just Bataglia just doesn't really trust Sandes too much. But you know, we may see a little bit of Chelo Wegan. You know, if he's back,
yeah,
starting absolutely to get some minutes back, and hopefully some Barella too. You know, I mean, like the interesting part about Paul Fernandez being the new number five and entrenched in the position is that it kind of revolutionizes the way the team plays. And going back to Campuzano is going back to another style of play.
Yeah,
and
very defensive.
Yeah, and it just so happens that Varela is fairly similar to the way Paul Fernandez plays. So you would think that naturally Varela would be the sub, you know, the next one up behind Paul Fernandez. So we may get to see some of Varela, which would be really exciting as well. Another of the younger kids. And then I just wish that incident wouldn't have happened with Almendra, because I would love to see him.
I was just about to say, we would also be seeing some Almendra, you know, if he wasn't relegated and he wasn't in a conflict with the club, but it doesn't look like We're going to be seeing him. And Riquelme kind of avoided that question yesterday. If he sees Almendra back with the first team, it doesn't look like that's happening.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's happening. So it's probably going to be the club is going to be selling him, you know, in June.
Looks like Brazil is a destination.
Yeah, it looks like it will be, and they're gonna get a really good player. If Barella just does a little bit of growing up emotionally, I think he's gonna be an excellent player. I think he can play in Europe easily. I mean, he's just incredibly talented.
Reminds me a lot of this. I said this on the podcast many, 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 many months ago. And I remember when I said it, I warned our listeners, please, obviously, I'm making a comparison just by each styles of play. Obviously, they're not the same exact player. One plays in Europe and one of the greatest teams in the world, and one plays at Boca. But I do think that Barella is very similar to Barella. And I remember my good friend, who is not able to make it tonight, he kind of laughed at me. I'm like, no, Fran, just think about it. Remove both players from the team. Remove the jersey. Remove everything. They have similar characteristics, and they really do. I really do think that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can say some player has some like attributes or movements from other players. I think Aaron Molinas has some things of Riquelme. Obviously, like Riquelme is just like, I'm not saying Molinas is Riquelme. He's not. Yeah. He doesn't have the shot. Sure. He doesn't have the free kicks. But just the way he moves around, you know, just reminds me sometimes of Riquelme, especially like later stage Riquelme. Obviously, earlier Riquelme was just unbelievable. I mean, there was no one like him. But that's why I like Molina so much, because the way he moves, the way he passes the ball, it reminds me of it has shades of Riquelme.
Yeah, those through balls. He sees runs before they happen.
Yep.
He picks out those runs perfectly, like Villa, especially Fabra off to the left. I think they do well to combine with each other. Salio is another player who's going to get a lot more playing time. We didn't even mention him. He didn't even make an appearance at the Super Classico. He didn't start nor come off the bench. So he's going to be another interesting player who needs to get back in, you know, in the groove of things. We need to have him at his best. I remember when we first brought him in, I thought under that board, I think it was top three signings. And I still do think that when he came to Boca, when he first started playing, he performed. Yeah. You could tell he was different class. Those matches against Atletico Paranaense, El Salio was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So we definitely do need him at his best. It'd be really nice to have Villa, Salio, and Ceballos at their best, and all of them fight, you know, for those two spots, who plays on Sunday and who plays on Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely. And not just for now, but also just kind of looking forward to the rest of the year and the future, because we know Pavon is gone in June, and we know that that Villa, if he keeps playing this way, he's going to be sold sooner rather than later. So at that point, you know, Ceballos is there, but we're going to need more. We're going to need Salvio. We're going to need Vasquez to be able to play with Benedetto. Maybe even Orsini. Who knows about Briasco? I don't think Briasco is good enough to just even belong on the roster. But you know, it's just I just don't think he is. I mean, he looks like a great guy, but just a bit out of his depth there. Boca is either going to have to, I think Boca's going to keep evaluating Salvio, and if he's just not good physically, like, they may not even offer him a contract, and then we're going to
be a shame.
Find ourselves in a position where we have to just go out and buy another player. Yeah, it would absolutely be a shame, because I agree with you. He's a national team like level guy when he's healthy and fit.
He played the last World Cup.
Yeah.
Way out of position. Granted, way out of position. Yeah. But he played the last World Cup, and that wasn't too long ago. Almost 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that wasn't long ago.
Yeah. Man, time flies. But yeah, I think, like, if he's able to get fit again, he still has a lot of football left in him. Yeah. But he hasn't been fit in a long time, and it's getting kind of worrisome.
Yeah, like, everyone was saying, you know, post transfer market, the board would begin to work on his renewal, and it's been a while. The transfer window closed when mid February, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it's been three, four weeks now, and you know, I haven't heard any updates from.
Or anything. And it was funny because everybody was just talking about it and asking Riquelme, and now no one's asking, because honestly, I don't even think he deserves, you know, a new contract, at least not the way he's been playing the last couple of months. So we'll see. There's no rush, obviously. I don't think he has like a multitude of offers coming in right now. I think everybody's in wait and see mode, and and see what happens. And then if he starts playing well again, you know, when Boca starts having like two or three competitions at a time, then you know, Boca, I'm sure they will offer a contract for a couple of years, and then we'll see. Sabio has said time and again that he wants to stay, so we'll see if that's true or not. It's also going to depend on how much, obviously, Boca offers. Yeah,
he's going to have to put on that work. If he wants to stay. So just to recap, Rodri, we're joint top with Estudiantes in Group B with 14 points apiece. Tigre and Colón, third and fourth place, respectively, 12 points. And Los Ibi in fifth place with 10, tied with Huracán, who's in sixth place. Those are the standings. Again, we won't see Boca for a while. We're expected to play Arsenal de Sarandí on Saturday, April 2nd. This Friday, Argentina play at La Bombonera in Venezuela. So that definitely looks like a very nice matchup to see some of the old guys, some of the guys, you know, in preparation for the World Cup in December. Yeah. Before we close this out, Rodri, just tell me, how'd you live the game with your friends? I know you told me you're going to do a little bit. You're not too big on barbecues, but you were going to do a little bit of a cookout before the game, maybe watch the Clásico, the Barcelona-Real Madrid match, and then watch the Super Clásico. So how'd you live that with your friends?
Yeah, so, I mean, I am big on barbecues. I'm just not big on, like, making them. Or, like,
yeah, that's what you're doing. I have to be in the cook, yeah.
Like, doing the grilling myself. I mean, I love barbecues. we watched the Barcelona-Real Madrid. That was just incredible, with Barcelona just completely spanking Madrid at Bernabeu. I had some choripanes going. You know, we ate some huevos before the Boca game, and then we watched the game. And then after that, we had some entraña and salad and just...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So, I mean, obviously, like, one of my friends is Peruvian, and my other friend is a Colón de Santa Fe fan. So no Boca fans, no other Boca fans in the house. My girlfriend was out just getting ready, because we're going on vacation tonight. So it was just me celebrating for the whole house and just very exciting. I obviously watched, you know, as much as I could of the post match, and then I listened to some Boca fans that have a Twitch show, and I enjoyed that very much. Just getting to, like,
yeah, listen to a couple of those too.
Kind of celebrate with alongside other people, even though, you know, I don't know these people, but I mean, we're all kind of part of the same Boca family. So
yeah,
just very happy. It's unbelievable, just the happiness and joy that something like this can generate. And man, I'm beaming, and I'll be beaming for a while, because this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we can celebrate this win. I think we start to sort of shift away from this game this Friday with the Copa Libertadores draw. We have Argentina, then the Copa Libertadores draw on a Friday. So I think we start to shift our focus, you know, on Friday. But up until then, we're still going to be celebrating the Super Clásico. Me, myself, I went with my father and my two brothers to Manhattan in the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
It's this place called The Ground. I know you follow me on Instagram, Rodri. I don't know if you saw any of my stories, but The Ground is a very nice place. They have an indoor futsal pitch, and they have another futsal pitch on rooftop. So it's really, really cool.
That's fun.
And they have like a sidebar, so, you know, they were selling beer and empanadas, nothing too crazy. And they hooked up on the big screen on a monitor. They hooked up the game. They were having some issues, some hiccups with the game in the first half. It was freezing constantly. It was getting really, really annoying. But thankfully, they sorted it out for the second half. I mean, in the first half, there was one shot from River that Rossi made the save, and then the ball went up, and then it froze in the first half. And since it's a flat screen, you don't know if the ball is going left, right, forward, towards the camera, or behind Rossi in goal.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting there with our hands on our head.
It's
we couldn't believe it. We were like, oh, my God, did they just score? And then it froze for 5 seconds, and then continue. We saw that Rossi made the save, and went up to the corner kick, so we were so happy about that. But overall, we had a really good time. And then we went to Queens, and we had to El Gauchito, which is an Argentine restaurant in New York.
Yeah.
And we had a parrillada with my dad, and my brothers had a milanesa. So we had a really nice Sunday evening and Sunday night. It was really fun. Lots and lots of fun.
The perfect plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Food and Boca games. That's,
yeah,
at least in my house, every Sunday. Anything else you'd like to add, Rodri, before we close this one out?
No, I'm just hoping that it was kind of like the next step in this like upward, you know, trajectory for Boca in terms of, you know, Bataglia making smart decisions. And obviously the win is going to bring some peace to Boca. We know that there's never quite, you know, forever peace, you know, in Boca. But I think, you know, Bataglia is just realizing some things. I think when they play again, he should have most of the roster healthy. So both Romero and Benedetto should be, you know, good to even Pulpo Gonzalez. Should be in Wigan full to like good to go in full health. So it's gonna be super exciting because I love when it's Boca Wednesday Sunday. Just give me a game every other day. I mean, if the players didn't tire, I would just kind of watch them every other day. And and it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be fun finding out the Copa Libertadores group. It just Copa Libertadores just hits different, man. I don't care if it's against a weaker team. From, I don't know, Venezuela, or if it's like some Brazilian team away. It's just every Copa Libertadores game is special, and I can't wait until that starts.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to be a lot of fun. I'm just trying to quickly look for the pots. I had them saved, but I can't find them anymore. I know there were some pretty interesting combinations. I know, for example, we could have like Corinthians in our group. We can have an old Brazilian group along with Boca. I don't know where the pots are. I think I lost the image. But yeah, that's this Friday. Hopefully we have a pretty solid group. I never like it too difficult, but I don't like it too easy either.
Yeah, exactly.
I like somewhere towards the middle. I like, you know, throw a Corinthians in there and throw a team from Chile and Colombia, and I'm happy.
Yeah, you want to get tested a little. You know, you don't want to have it too easy.
Want to see what the team's made out of. But hopefully this is our year. Things are looking up. Things are looking good. It looks like Bataglia sort of has a nice grasp of things now going forward. Let's see how he begins to manage this Wednesday, Sunday thing for the next month and a half to 2 months. Anyways, Rodri, thank you so much for recording with me. I know you're going to catch a flight soon. Is that correct?
Yes. In a few hours, we'll be heading out over to the Dominican Republic for a wedding. So very excited about that.
Very, very nice. I'm jealous. I'm about to edit this and then go record. Go study for the rest of the night. So then I have to go in at midnight. I have my ambulance shift from 12 to 12. So,
oh man,
that should be fun. Hopefully I don't get any crazy calls.
Yep.
But anyways, Rodri, thank you so much for recording with me. Taking time out of your day before your flight. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.